So, here we are, episode 6. What's up, bitches? We have a guest with us today, Alan Knight.
What's up?
The brother-in-law.
The brother-in-law and the friend from
way back in the day.
Has it been 20 years yet? Almost. Next year it'll be 20. Yeah. We met when we were 15, right?
Yeah.
Oh, you guys are old.
I know.
Thanks for the reminder.
20 years, that freaks me out. All right, so... should we just get going? Or
yeah, we don't have any
talk
corrections.
About our weeks or
I talked to Mike Miles, number three, and yeah. He didn't have any email. He usually emails us corrections from when we
he didn't have anything from
mess up previous
the
show.
Last episode.
There were and I talked to him the other day, and he said there were no corrections for this show.
Did you see that?
I personally know a bare minimal about computers, so there will be tons of corrections as of next week. Yes.
Well, Mike doesn't know anything about computers either, so
awesome.
We're all good.
Sweet.
One of the first things is we have our podcasts up on a wiki now, at least our show notes. So it's a lot easier to navigate through them, a lot easier to get to them, a lot easier to write comments about them and things like that.
Yeah.
So Mike, from now on, instead of emailing us your corrections, you can just put them right on the wiki for others to benefit from.
You know, now I'm going to get an email because he's going to ask me what the hell wiki is, and he's going to ask me how the hell to get to it and what the hell to do with it.
Well,
it's
on our blog. I put a blog entry on there that's at the top right now.
Sweet.
So it'll be second when episode 6 comes out, because now our blog seems to consist of announcements for our podcasts.
Nice.
But what the fuck.
All right.
And not to dumb it down or anything, but what's a website?
We use a computer.
Computer.
Yeah. So let's get right into it.
All right.
The first two on the list are Ultimate Black Belt and Sterling's Black Belt Test. The Ultimate Black Belt, I guess this guy has put together this program that is quote unquote the Ultimate Black Belt.
Yeah.
And did you see that site?
I was skimming it over earlier today, actually, and I don't know what the hell. What, I mean, okay.
I think,
I can go around and claim that I've got the ultimate black belt test too.
Well, but. I think this it brings up an interesting point for me, and one thing is that this ultimate black belt test, it looks really cool. It's like a year long, and I thought it was a scam when I first saw it. I'm like, this is just a joke. But what the guy advertises it as? Wow.
Chew your words.
Well, see, oh. For everybody that doesn't know, I had my first fall semester class today, so I've been talking for about 2.5 hours, and my throat's a little bit dry.
And you can tell he's still not tired of hearing himself talk.
No, I never get tired of
that. Never is.
I actually listen to these podcasts several times each week. I cut out the parts with Sterling.
You masturbate to
him, don't
you?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
TMI. TMI.
Little man juice on the keyboard.
Oh,
never a bad
come
thing.
On, dude.
So
why does the R always stick?
Okay. It's the back button.
Sorry, we digressed a little bit there.
So it's actually a life – he calls it a lifestyle program. And there were some quotes from the people that have been through it, and they say – and I think this is true – that if you think about any momentous thing in your life, they said it changed their relationship with their family and with their friends and how they look at life. And you know,
it changes your entire outlook, yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's probably a lot like when people go through basic training.
Right.
You know, they're broken down to nothing, and then they're built back up. And when they're built back up, they just have a completely different outlook on life. So I don't necessarily think it's a scam. I think it's an interesting idea. But I think the reason that I put it in here is because I think an interesting conversation would be what it means to be a black belt and have a black belt.
Yes.
So let me ask you this though: how does his outlook differ from going into any other dojo? Does he just really embrace the entire lifestyle much more?
No, this guy is crazy. I think you already have to have a black belt in some art.
Yeah, and that right there, I took issue with that more than anything else in the article. Because, so what if you have a black belt?
No, right.
What does that mean?
Right.
What does it mean to have a black belt?
And that's what spurred on me putting this in here is because you're right. I think that especially for people that aren't in the martial arts, there is some kind of mystical quality of having a black belt.
Right. And it means something entirely different depending on where you got it, how you got it.
Right.
I mean, like, for example, you don't have your black belt.
Right.
Right?
No.
And I know how good of a martial artist you are.
Right.
And if I were to compare you to some other people that I know who have black belts,
it doesn't really mean anything.
It's completely meaningless.
Right. Right. So I think that it's one of these things where I think it means a tremendous amount, and it means a lot to the person that has it.
Exactly.
And that's the important part.
Exactly.
I've seen people go through black belt tests. I remember one of my former instructors.
Sensei Cooper?
Sensei Cooper. Hi, Sensei, if you're listening to this. Right. Sensei Cooper, he said that one of the reasons that he left his original school is because he saw a woman get a black belt in Taekwondo that couldn't kick above her hip. Now, in many arts, that's just fine. In Taekwondo, not acceptable.
Right.
And when she was teaching people, kicks, and she couldn't kick above her waist.
Right.
So how can you teach people to kick? You know,
And there's a whole other issue in there.
And you know
what? You
she paid $1,500. 2 years later, she had her black belt.
Yeah, and that's ridiculous. But you also bring up another point. Just because you have a black belt does not mean you're a teacher.
That's true too.
Teaching is a skill.
That's absolutely true.
You know, and you need to learn how to be a good teacher just as much as you need to learn how to get to your black belt rank.
So I think it's important not to devalue a black belt, because I think that having a black belt is a tremendous deal. It's a tremendous deal for the person that has the black belt.
Right.
So it's all about, you know, it's all about pigeonholing and labels and things like that that, you know, If somebody's got a degree, what's that mean? If they've got a bachelor's degree, well, did they get it from the University of Phoenix, or did they get it from, I don't know.
And regardless of where they got it from, it's a personal goal for them.
Right.
You can't compare my black belt to anybody else's.
Right.
Because it was an experience for me.
Right. And that's
in relationship to everyone else, it's meaningless. But to me, it's a whole different beast.
Right. Yeah.
I think that's why I kind of got disillusioned with it, because it's the same principle of, like, grading on a curve. You know, the person who really takes it to heart and works for it, it just gets frustrating putting everything I had into developing my own skills. And like you said, seeing somebody who just came in, plopped down, you know, $50 every week, and they got the same reward out of it.
Right.
Which is why
I understand what you're saying. It's completely different to everybody else, but there's a certain intrinsic value that, you know, just because you came in and you broke a sweat, I don't think you should be able to. But I understand from a business point of view, too,
I think
you don't
want
to turn that money away from the students coming in for that reason.
There's a balance. There's a fine line
it
there.
It is. Yeah. And I think there's a certain affection for people to be able to get or do something that not a lot of other people have. And if you think that – I'll give you a good example of this. My first computer class at Grand Valley to get my master's degree – we were going through some C, and he was talking about memory addresses and stuff like that. And one of the girls raised her hand and said, well, where do you put the URL for the web address? Which, for those people that aren't computer savvy, has absolutely nothing to do with C and programming. Like, nothing. And so meanwhile, I started thinking to myself, well, if she can get a master's degree, what does it mean for me to get one?
Right.
Not much. Well, but I'll tell you what, when I walked across that stage and I got my master's degree, it meant a huge deal.
Yeah.
So.
Well, but and that's the thing, though. You can see it. It meant something to you because you got out of that what you put into it. Regardless of what anybody else
does.
That's
right.
They can do whatever they want. In the end, yeah. you have to value what you've got based on what you know you did yeah. to get there.
And I'll tell you what, you know, I was watching one of these old movies or something like that, and the old school guys, the guys that did Kung Fu years and years and years ago, you know, hundreds of years ago and whatnot, they didn't wear belts at all.
No.
And it had nothing to do with what kind of belt. In fact, the whole belt system is a Western invention.
Yes.
And
to make us Westerners feel good, well, and give us some instant gratification.
Just an interesting FYI for the listeners, how the belt system originated was in the old traditional schools in the East, they would give you a belt. And as you practiced and as you worked out, the belt would get dirtier and dirtier because you never washed your belt.
Right.
That's one of the traditions in, I think, all martial arts, is you never wash your belt because it's a symbol of your training. So
I didn't even realize that.
Yeah. So you never wash your belt. As the belt got dirtier and dirtier and dirtier,
it starts to turn yellow, then it turns green, then it turns brown.
Right, it gets darker and
it's
darker.
That green stage I don't really like.
Right. So that's generally why most of the belt systems that you see in Western schools go from light to dark.
That's right.
Because you got your black belt when your belt was dirty enough that it was black. And so all that stuff is meaningless to them and just – it doesn't mean anything.
It's a measure of work. When you
right.
think about
it's
it.
It's a measure of
hard work.
And for Western schools, it's an easier way because people have busy lives and stuff like that. It's an easier way for a student instructor to walk onto the floor and know where everyone is at in their training. I know what you need to work on. I know what you need to work on. I know what you need to work on because you have these belts on.
Right.
So it's a useful tool, but I think you put it correctly when you said you can't compare one to the other.
Right.
You know, because there's not any meaning between those things. So
it's almost devalued in that aspect. It's like
it is.
You know,
it has
just personal
value is pretty much the value
right.
it has.
Yeah, I think the same could be said. You know, if anybody walking into the Marines knew that they were going to leave with a Purple Heart, you know, what would that do to the Purple Heart? Yeah, it doesn't
right.
symbolize what it used
right.
to.
Right, and in fact, I've heard stories where people get pissed off because somebody stubbed their toe and get a Purple Heart.
Right? Exactly.
Meanwhile, this guy has, you know, the last bit of flesh dangling off his arm, and here's your Purple Heart.
Right.
Thanks.
Right. You know.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's
it devalues it.
Exactly.
And in fact,
but anybody from the outside would go, "Ooh, you got a Purple Heart." Right.
One of the instructors during the test at the end, he said, "You now have your black belts. You are a part of a community of black belts. And that black belt means that you have a certain amount of responsibility."
That's right.
Towards that community. So I think there is a bit of a community. And in fact, it's just like one of my instructors at Grand Valley had his doctorate. And he said he had a really weird experience. He was at a party once. And he was being introduced by his wife to another couple. And she said, "So-and-so has his, like, doctorate in mathematics." And instantly, they were a part – he's like – it's like you're instantly a part of a cult.
Oh, absolutely.
You know? Now, does the doctorate – because you got it from one place and you got it from one place and you didn't work any harder than I – or you worked more hard than I did or whatever – but you're instantly a part of that in crowd. And that's one of the reasons I want to get my black belt, is because, well, not only does it mean a lot to me to have it, but you do. You feel like you're a part. You're all of a sudden you have your black belt. And when people say – the first question people ask when you're into martial arts.
What color's your belt?
Do you have a black belt? You know, and I go, well, I've been doing it since I was 13, yeah. But no. So anyway, I think that generated a pretty good discussion on martial arts.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
So that's our martial arts portion of the show.
Dan put together a really fun video of my black belt test.
Oh yeah. So, anybody that gets the chance, go up and see it. It's a lot of yeah. it's fun.
It's a pretty general overview of what happened across the day. It was about a 4-hour period.
Yep.
And it's just fun to watch.
Yeah, 4 hours
do,
condensed
do we get
into
to see
about
you
15
getting
minutes.
Beat helpless?
No, you get to see me getting beat.
I do, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Pretty much as the testee, it's my job to summon the tax me, and I have to defend myself.
Yeah.
Killer.
So, and Dan, I think we got some pictures of Dan's bruises up on the website as well. So yeah.
I was just covered, dude.
Black and blue.
Covered.
Black and blue.
Yeah.
Hong Kong fucking fooey, dude.
It was awesome. And then Jen wants to wax my eyebrows. And I'm like, that hurts.
What?
I don't need to wax my eyebrows. And she goes, you fucking come home covered from head to toe in bruises, and you don't want me to wax your eyebrows.
Well,
I'm
you
like,
can
it
defend
hurts.
Yourself against the things that
That's
I was
right.
doing. You can't defend yourself
I have
against
control
an
over
eyebrow
that situation.
Wax.
It's the whole anticipation factor, too.
That's
you
right.
know that piece of paper is getting pulled off your eyebrow.
And she just fucking likes looking at the hair anyway. She yanks it off. She's like, oh, look at all that hair I got off your eyebrows.
I'm weird that way.
Maybe look into shaving the pubes into, you know, an envelope and the perfect birthday present.
I trimmed them the other day.
Just don't let her wax them.
Yeah. I trimmed them the other day.
Okay.
I was like, it'll make my dick look bigger.
TMI. Get out.
We don't have any tech tips today.
No, we don't. Hey, do the tech tip for the PSP. How to do tabs.
Oh, okay. Tabbed browsing for the PSP. If you've got a link and you hold down your X button to click on that link, if you actually hold it down for a minute, not literally a minute, a moment, it will open that link up in a new tab. Then if you hold down the X button and hit your shoulder, you will move. You will cycle.
Square button or the X button? Square button.
Square button. And hit your shoulder button, you'll scroll through the tabs.
Nice.
So there's only three available, but it's kind of nice to have tabbed browsing. Thank you, Internet Explorer. You can't even do as cool a job as the fucking web browser on the PSP.
Yeah. Don't even get me started there. Did you read that article that I sent you the other day?
Beta version 7's out.
I know. Did you read the article that I sent you? It was a big, long
dude,
article.
Dude, it was a huge article. I'm like,
make
a synopsis for me, dude.
They talked about – we're going to cover this next week. I'm not going to talk about it now. Basically, it was – they were debunking the myths.
I thought he's not going to talk about it now.
I'm going to just quick summarize so people know what we're going to talk about next week. Fuck you. They're debunking some of the myths about why people say Microsoft has more vulnerabilities than Linux. And one of the things they talk about specifically is, well, people like to say Microsoft has – you know, more bugs because it's the most prominent system out there. And they debunked that myth. Very interesting stuff.
Okay.
We're going to talk about that next week.
Because that's one of my big excuses. So,
all right. What's next here? We've got
science is tech stuff. Real Basic 2005 for Linux.
Yeah.
Basically. This, I thought, was really interesting. When Visual Basic first came out, I started using it in version 3. Very, very easy learning curve to the whole thing.
All right, you're going to have to talk. I thought Real Basic. Is that not the Real Music, the new Real Music player?
No.
What?
It's a Visual Basic for Linux.
Get out.
Yeah. So there's a very easy learning curve all of a sudden to getting into programming for Linux. I think it's going to be huge. Because I think there'll be more and more people that kind of play with Linux. In all honesty, I'm one of those people, right? I've played with Linux before, and not a fucking clue how to script anything. Barely even know what it means. I mean, I'm a programmer, for God's sakes.
I'm in the same boat.
I don't know how to do all that stuff. I wouldn't know how to write a
config
program.
Config files
Linux.
Confuse the shit config out of me.
It's all craziness. But I think if there is an easy learning curve to some of these applications and developing these applications, then a lot more stuff is going to get built for Linux. A lot more stuff. More accessible.
I read an article yesterday while I was on the shitter at work, because, you know, that's what you do.
The library.
Yeah. And
you don't bring your PSP in?
No, because it makes noise, and if it's like beep, 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 while people are the next...
I just turned it down and browsed the web.
I know, but it's just weird. And they hear the clickety-clickety-clickety. What the
really
fuck are you
wasn't
doing?
Agreeing with me.
But this guy wrote a very interesting article, and his point was that Linux would be more available if they offered slightly less options.
I agree.
The average user doesn't...
He's overwhelmed.
Yeah, I don't care about having to make the decision between picking KDE or GNOME or X Windows. Give me a fucking GUI that everything works for.
Is right, you get a basic version of Nopix, right, which is the CD-based Linux system.
Which uses KDE, by the way. I read up on that.
Okay, and it's probably one of the most easiest and simplest and basic installs you can have. I think it's got like four different calculators in it.
Right.
I don't want four different calculators.
Yeah,
I fucking
care.
Want one.
Yeah.
It's so confusing.
Does it add numbers? Yes. Okay, I'll use it.
Actually, in all honesty, I was thinking about rebuilding my machine at home, and the only reason I don't do it, Video editing.
Yeah. Jeff does it.
There's no video editing for it. Jeff does it in Cinelera, and it sucks.
Does it?
You can do basic editing. I mean, if you've used Windows Movie Maker.
See, that's not enough.
Right. It's not enough.
Well, but anyway, so the gist of this guy's article was this. He said,
"Hello, tangent."
Yeah. He says, "Look, you know, they don't have a standard. Like, if you're an application developer for Linux, there are still certain things you have to do to be compatible with all the GUIs you can choose from."
Right.
That's a pain in the ass. Right. As a developer, you eventually you're going to want to pick one, and then he's saying, just make some standards that have to be met. You can still do all the other things if you want, but make sure there's this middle-of-the-road thing for the average user, because that's who you have to target.
Right.
Because if the average user won't use it, you're not going to steal that market share you need to steal
back. I think some people are simply overwhelmed by all the distributions.
It is overwhelming. I'm a developer, and I know, and I can get some distributions running, but I'm overwhelmed.
Right. It's tough. It's tough to know which one's the best and which one's the easiest. So anyway, Real Basic for Linux – entry-level programming environment.
That's
a
good
step.
That's a good step.
I tell you, I actually just recently discovered something with Windows XP. I guess it was actually an option in previous operating systems, too. I've always been a Windows user, you know, the anti-geek like that, I guess.
Boo! hey,
On your main screen, if you right-click your mouse button, you have an option to actually view everything as a web page. And I went along with that, and it has saved me so much time. You only have to click once, apparently. I can open WoW or World of Warcraft like that. Saved me so much time. So
view it as a web page?
Yeah, instead of like double-clicking on all the icons, you just click it.
It's the one-click.
The folder view option.
Actually, on this machine, I have a one-click. And the reason I started doing it is because I started getting carpal tunnel. So it's
like I was wasting that much time double clicking
the
all the time.
Click.
Yeah. And now that we've done the show down a little bit.
So there's
that's our average user tip of the day.
There's our next tip. No, I'll tell you what. I do single click on everything and it makes a big difference for me. I like it. I like it a lot.
All right, excellent.
So Sterling, you like this one.
Okay, what's up?
New file format causes mass panic at Microsoft.
This is the OASIS standards, right?
This is the OASIS
standards. Oh, I blogged on this. This was so fun.
Now, what state is it?
Massachusetts.
Massachusetts has decided that all of their documents are going to be in this OASIS standard format.
Open architecture,
something. So essentially, Open Office is compliant with it.
Yeah. Everybody's compliant with standards but Microsoft.
Right.
Fuck those guys.
Yeah. So now Microsoft, I guess the next version of Office is supposed to be compliant with all these standards and blah, blah, blah.
No, this is what happened, though. That's not just the way it is. The guy said, well, how come you guys didn't wait and check out our beta? Because we were going to do that, too.
He's very whiny in this article.
We were going to
so
do that.
Funny.
Well, we had that. Yeah. We were going to do that.
Yeah.
Shut up.
But were you going to do it for free?
No.
No. That's the big question. So I think it's very interesting, you know, and this goes back to the functionality and the feature stuff. You open Word. What the fuck doesn't it do? What is the next version of Word going to have that the previous version of Word didn't have, for God's sakes? And you really take a look at what most people do on a daily basis and ask yourself, what does the free Open Office do that Microsoft doesn't?
It has standards, which is important. Because
I'm talking about user options.
Right, but that's not the point of that. The reason they're doing that is because you've got so many people using so many systems that if I want to make a document and it's Word specific, I can't pass that to a bunch of different applications know what's going on.
But what I'm saying is that this is becoming more and more possible because say 5-6 years ago, let's go back 10 years, right?
Yeah.
You had WordPerfect and you had Microsoft Word.
Yep.
And essentially the functionality contained within those programs was only available in WordPerfect and Microsoft Word.
Yes.
But now you're getting to a point where products like OpenOffice, if you're an office worker that's sending out invoices or whatever it is that you're doing, your functionality is so basic in comparison to what the newest versions of Microsoft Word can do that 90% of that crap you're not going to use. And guess what? The 10% that you do use is perfectly functional in OpenOffice. So more and more, I would imagine anyway, that if this state does it, there's got to be other states going, shit, we don't – at my work, we pay $30,000 a year for Microsoft licensing for 300 people. And
yeah, that's
Now, and the reason that we can't go to an open office is because we have a lot – we've probably got hundreds of built-in macros for Word. Literally hundreds.
So the new programs aren't necessarily downward.
Well, two things. One, we would have to recreate all those macros, right? And we did it. We switched from WordPerfect to Word. We'd have to learn how to do all that stuff. We'd have to make sure. I mean, one of the biggest deals is we send stuff out to clients all the time.
Right.
The big thing about Massachusetts is they're not sending stuff to clients. They are the client.
Right.
You know,
well, and you got some big people out there. One of the things, MIT, baby.
Right.
They're one of the big contributors to software genius.
No, I think it's a good move. I think it's a good move.
I think so, too. I'm in favor of standards all around.
Yeah, me
and
too.
And if Microsoft's going to support those standards in a future version, good for them.
Yep.
One of the good things they can probably do for the world.
Yep.
I have no opinion whatsoever. As long as I can keep logging on to World of Warcraft, I'm happy.
Yay!
All
right, what do we got
PayPal
next?
Introduces new micropayments.
Now, yeah, I don't know about this.
I think this is something that a lot of people will go, what the fuck is that? Who really cares?
Right. That's what I said.
I disagree. Micropayments are very interesting. They're $2 and under, right?
Okay.
So this is the kind of thing that micropayments will start to allow. That. And I want to watch a movie on my computer.
All right.
I don't want to buy the movie.
Sure, you want to just rent it.
I just want to watch it. How much am I going to pay? Not going to pay more than $2. That's for damn sure. That's a rental price.
Right.
Because I'm going to watch it once, literally. So if I can download that, watch it once, pay some company 50 cents, right? The biggest problem with micropayments in the past is the overhead. The overhead.
I mean, it costs more for them to
transact
the
micropayment.
I got you.
Than it does to have the micropayment.
Yep.
So if all of a sudden you're getting, and in fact, Microsoft was experimenting with this for a while with their new version of Office. They were going to have you pay incrementally based on the features that you used, and every time you ran Microsoft Word. You would pay Microsoft 2 cents. That, to me, is a really good idea because I want a copy of Microsoft Word on my – I mean, you know, after the last discussion, that's up for debate. But I want a copy of a particular program on my hard drive. I'm going to use it maybe twice a month.
Right.
So let's take Adobe Premiere, I think, is a good example.
Yep.
I, as a non-professional, don't want to pay $600 for a copy of Adobe Premiere. Now, we all know that there are ways around that, but
I don't know anything about that.
if Adobe came out with a version of Premiere that charged you 50 cents, let's say they charged you a nickel for each half an hour that you used it, that'd be perfect for me.
Right.
Because I'd use it maybe a couple hours a month. It wouldn't be that big a deal for me. I'd gladly play Adobe for
that. And
they
get paid for it.
And they get paid for it.
It's worth the money.
Right. So I think that micropayments could potentially change the way a lot of people use the internet.
Yeah. Well, I'm a firm believer. I've said this before that eventually software – we're going to go back to dumb terminals where all you do is sit at a computer that's got a link to some server housed who knows in the bottom of a ravine somewhere.
Right.
And they're going to have software applications. Yeah, and what you're going to do is log on to, you know, to your software application.
Well, this is
you'll lease your software.
This is my big prediction. For 20 years from now.
Okay.
20 years is a long time, so might happen before then.
Does it involve flying cars?
I fucking hope so.
So otherwise, I don't
know.
Does
it involve AI whores?
Oh, that'd be nice.
Nice.
No, there are these devices that attach to your computer and you – oh, never mind.
yeah. We won't get into that. come on. All right.
He who laughs last didn't get the joke. No. What's going to happen is that – I'll give you a good example of this with my new iPod, right? I've got MP3s on my laptop, on my iPod, and at home. I'm sick of it. I don't – it's like it's not the same library. I have different music. I've got to worry about, okay, I bought something from iTunes on my laptop. I need to get it transferred to my iPod and then get it transferred to my home machine
yep.
to make sure I have copies and blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
I really think that there will be a computer buried in the Yucca Mountains somewhere in 20 years, and you will be able to jump into your car and turn on your music. You will be able to go to your laptop and turn on your music.
Right.
And all your data will be stored in a single place. You'll be able to just reach out into the quote-unquote cloud
yep.
and pull it down.
And that's what I mean by dumb terminals.
Yep.
You're going to have a super fast computer, and all it does is pull data over a
yep.
worldwide and if, better than broadband internet
well,
connection.
And if you look at World of Warcraft, that's very true.
That's right.
Because all your character statistics, everything about your character is all held on the server.
Yep.
Persistent.
But they did something some of the other games didn't do, which is they even store your hotkey configurations. Not your macros, but if you configure
yeah,
your
pissed about that.
If you configure your hotkeys and move to a different computer,
yeah.
your hotkeys still show up.
Yeah.
Previous games didn't do that. You had to reconfigure your hotkeys for every character every time you had a new computer.
Yeah, and
very
I,
cool.
I was frustrated about the macros because
yeah.
I jump back and forth between
macros
home and my laptop.
Stick. You got dump all your macros to your FTP site.
Yeah, but I found that I don't really use because you can't cast more than one spell on a macro. I don't use them a whole lot.
I don't use them.
I do a pet attack and then a spell macro.
Yeah,
that's pretty much it.
But yeah, so
anyway, so that's I think that
wow.
Micropayments is a bigger story than it seems.
That's good.
Paper like display. They've been sort of playing around with this for a while.
What is that?
But now they have a I don't know if it's LED. I don't know what the fuck it is, but you can roll it up.
Oh, you kidding me?
It's a computer display that you can roll up.
Oh, that's going to be
nice.
So great for handheld computers.
Yeah, so then they have sort of these prototype pictures on their website of it's like a small little cylinder-looking thing, and they show some guy pulling out the screen.
Damn.
And I think the really cool thing is you could pull out a pretty big screen.
Right.
You know, if you just made that a little bit bigger.
Right.
So I think that's going to be a pretty big deal, too.
That's awesome.
That sounds really cool.
And that's my only opinion on that. No. That's all. That's it.
What were you going to say, Al?
I was just kind of wondering how they – I mean, they actually have a working prototype on that, or is it still in developmental stages?
I think there are R&D versions of that thing. The biggest deal is when you start to get in stuff like that is price point. You know, if it's going to cost me $10,000 to get a PDA –
right,
it's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
So once they get onto the, once they get it to a point where they can start to mass produce it.
I'm kind of curious to find out a little bit more. Maybe I'll do some research myself. But
click on the link.
Yeah.
Go to the show notes and click on the link.
Oh, what?
The website is www.rockstormedia.com. The wiki is over on the right hand side. There'll be a link to it on the blog. But if you just want to go onto the main site of the wiki. It's along the right-hand side, and it says, this is our wiki, isn't this cool? So.
Are we sure it's not wiki? I've heard it several different ways. I don't know how to pronounce it.
Wiki. I've heard it wiki.
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 If anybody has an official pronunciation, because we're too lazy to look it up, send us an email.
And we'll tell you to fuck off.
Oh, by the way.
No, you're wrong!
Our email.
Dan@rockstormedia.com and Sterling@rockstormedia.com.
You can also email podzor@rockstormedia.com.
P-O-D-X-O-R.
So whatever way you want to do it.
Do it.
Do it.
Okay. What's next?
Messenger as it departed Earth. This is just – actually, this is more for the link than anything else. This isn't really a big story. But
all right.
They sent some probe to Mercury. And as it was leaving Earth, they turned it around and had it take these series of pictures of the Earth.
Oh, really?
And they spliced them into an MPEG. And it's a video of one complete rotation of the Earth as Messenger leaves the planet.
That's
and it's
kinda
just
cool.
It's a really cool MPEG file. So I more than anything else, I wanted to put up the link so if people wanted to go check it out, they could.
That's cool.
And if you don't feel like doing that, you can type in – you can probably Google Messenger and NASA or something like that and get the site up. But it's a neat link. So, so do
it. Well,
I
want to check that one out. Software company first to launch what's that?
Podmercials.
Oh,
this.
I knew this would be coming
I'm
along.
I'm so angry.
Why?
Because what they're doing is this is not podmercials like commercials in podcasts. These are infomercials as podcasts.
Oh, I thought this was some commercials on your iPod.
So what you do is you get suckered into downloading some podcast that is like the Technology Now. I'm sure there's a Technology Now podcast, but you download something, you get suckered into downloading it. You start listening to it, and they go, "Well, we're going to do a product review of this laptop today." And they start talking up the laptop and how great it is. Meanwhile, it's a commercial.
Well, you knew it wouldn't be long.
Yeah. So people want to find. Wary.
I love my spam.
Yeah, it's so great.
Well, people are going to want. I mean, how do you? People are inevitably going to take podcasts and figure out how to make money. How do you make money? Advertising. Well, that's how everybody makes money.
It's really interesting because the guys that do Twit. Do you listen to that still?
No.
Okay, it's This Week in Tech, and it's guys from Tech TV when they lost their jobs when G4 merged with Tech TV.
But, bastards.
Yeah, I know. So anyway, these guys are heavily into technology. People like Dvorak.
Yeah.
Steve Gibson. Do you remember Steve Gibson?
Yeah.
And last week they were actually talking. They did a live show, and somebody asked the question, what's the business model for what you're doing? And they didn't have a clue. They were like, we don't know. First of all, we all have day jobs. We're doing this for fun.
There you go.
And we truly believe that a business model will come out of this. You know, we'll just start doing this because it's fun and it's cool. And I think, you know, just like the wiki on our website, I put it up
Because it's cool,
you know, and I had seen other people play with it, and I wanted to do it, and all of a sudden we're using it
for show
notes and stuff.
Because you're a gadget
whore,
that's why.
Yeah, that's true. So I think that there still is some sort of business model that has to come out of this whole thing to really – or it's going to go the way of the blogs. And blogs are still big right now, but there was a peak where it was just the end-all, be-all of everything, and everybody had to have a blog, and everybody was reading blogs.
Shit, it worked its way into the elections, for crying out loud.
Right. Yeah, and I'll bet next election you probably won't hear about it anymore. They'll probably have one, but you probably won't hear about it.
Right.
So if there's not a good business model that comes out of this, it's going to disappear.
Someone will come up with a business model for
it. I think so, too.
I think that's one of the main reasons why I'm so not tech-savvy. Is because every time I just start getting the hang of one thing,
something else comes along.
Yep, yeah. It's yesterday's news.
That's the nature of technology,
yeah,
baby.
It is.
You got to be fast moving.
And even with these podcasts.
Oh, and that is such the antithesis of what I am.
You know, even with these podcasts, I mean, we're on episode 6, and like the Twit guys are on episode 21.
I was listening to Dignation the other day, and for some reason they said episode 9. I thought they
were
they're
on 9.
For a while.
No, they're on 10. They're on 10, I think.
I had to stop listening to them.
They're kind of annoying.
Well, the
and
one guy
I was listening
name,
to their
one guy's
I'm sorry.
Voice is annoying.
And I was listening
to
their podcasts and the shit that they were talking about and stuff. And all they do is they go through the stories on Digg.com. The top weekly stories on Digg.com. And their business model kind of makes sense because they're promoting the website.
Right.
Which makes sense.
They have a plan.
And that's sort of what we're doing. I mean, we're trying to get people to come to our website, and this is one of the ways in which we do it. Why we're trying to get people to come to the website, we're not really sure, but it's fun. We look at the hit counter and we're like, sweet.
Yeah. We'll figure out why later.
Yeah. So,
our business model, we're media. It's not Rockshore Video. It's Rockshore Media. This is media.
This is media. So I was listening to them the other day, and they were just babbling inanely.
This was Dignation?
Dignation.
Okay.
And I thought, our podcast is far more entertaining and informative than theirs is. And they're like one or two.
There you go, you Dignation bitches. The gauntlet has been thrown down.
Right. I'm going to fuck your mother.
Wait, we're babbling like them.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on.
What do we got next? The iPod Nano.
Oh, that's right.
The new iPod. Have you seen the iPod Nano?
I haven't seen it, but I've been hearing a little
bit
about it.
Let's clicky-click on it and see if...
I like it.
Nothing
I like
crashes.
It because I liked the idea of the iPod shuffle, but I like the menu.
Holy shit.
Yeah, that's
like,
the Nano.
That fucker's tiny.
Right, and it's priced about the same as a shuffle, but you get the menu system.
No. It's priced about the same as the Mini.
What's the shuffle's like $199.
No. Is it?
Yeah. That's what I look in the Apple
Store.
No,
the shuffle is... The half gig shuffle is 100.
Yeah,
right. But if you want to get a shuffle that's going to be able to hold some fucking music, you're not going to do a half gig.
Yeah, you know what though? I have the half gig shuffle, and
You have the Shuffle, you have the Mini.
I have both.
What the fuck do you need both for?
Well, he's got two ears.
That's right.
Oh, my God. No, you are a techno whore.
Yeah, I know. No, I got the Shuffle for Jen for when she went horseback riding. She likes to have music and blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
So no interface. It's easy to use. It was $100 for the half gig.
Okay.
And honestly, if you have more than half a gig, you there's no way to manage your music. There's no playlists. There's no nothing.
And that's what frustrates me about the Shuffle.
You dump a bunch of music on the Shuffle. You hit the random and you play it. And for 120 songs, works great. It's cool. People like my wife can use it because that menuing system and shit, she'd be totally confused by. She'd never set up a playlist in her life. She likes to hit the play button and get a random selection of music.
All right, I'll give you that.
I borrowed her Shuffle. Fell in love with this idea of having music wherever I went. And I actually got into doing podcasts, got into listening to podcasts. You can't really do podcasts on the Shuffle because it's all fucking random, and to move through songs, it's like really slow.
Right.
So then I bought the Mini for myself. So that's how I ended up with both the Mini and
I like the menu system. I like the fact that the Nano is as small as a Shuffle.
If I had gotten
the menu.
Well, and the Nano replaces the Mini. So now you have the big iPod, the 40 and 60 gig iPod. You've got the 20 and 40 gig Nano, and you've got the half and the 1 gig Shuffle.
What's the little hardware thing you've got to interface with your – for traveling in your car?
Yeah, the iTrip.
Will that not work
with the Nano?
With a Nano?
No, it won't.
See, that's shit. That's crap.
Although the Belkin one will, although I hated the Belkin.
Yeah, nice review on the Belkin one.
I'm sure they'll come out with one for the Nano. I'm sure.
I know. I
think an iPod is useless. I've got an FM transmitter. So I just tune my stereo in my car, and I think it's kind of useless without it.
Right. And my sister-in-law, well, Laura, your sister.
Yep.
She's got hers, and she pulled out hers and she had the iTrip Mini, and she could control the volume on her car.
Yeah, that was really
cool. I was floored. Yeah. I was amazed. It was awesome.
It's cool. It's very
cool. If I listened to music, I'd get one.
I listen to podcasts in my car.
Yeah, I'd like.
I was a big fan of NPR, and I just.
If only we could record our podcasts directly on an iPod, that would be sweet.
I know. They have MP3 players that can do that. And actually, they have a recorder for the iPod.
I'm sure
they do. But I've heard the quality is really bad.
That's too bad.
So, now, see, that kind of.
Yeah, because this quality is great.
Because I've always been kind of curious about the whole iPod system.
Oh, dude.
I never. Well, I shouldn't say that. I have plenty of downloaded music, which was purchased legally.
You have a lot of MP3s.
yes. Thank you.
That's right.
But I was always finding myself frustrated with developing that many playlists. It felt like I was spending that much more time in front of the computer as opposed to just listening my music on the go. So I never really investigated into how much work and how easy it is to set up a playlist.
Oh, it's cake. It's so easy. And the playlists are great with the iPod because you can get I'm driving somewhere playlist. Or yep. I'm working out playlist, or I'm coding playlist. You know,
I'm
what I mean?
Feeling like a super freak.
Right,
playlist.
Right. So I don't know. I like the playlist a lot, and I recently got some books on CD and pulled them out to MP3.
See,
and
I wouldn't mind doing something like that.
And it's great because I had planned on going to my grandmother's today, which is a 3-hour trip there and a 3-hour trip back, and I'm like books on tape. The fifth Harry Potter book. I have no motivation to read because I hear he's like a whiny bitch.
He is a whiny bitch.
So I thought I'll get it on tape and I'll just listen to it and it won't be quite that investment of time.
You should get through that book so you can get to the sixth book. Some people didn't like the sixth book. That was one of my favorites. I loved it. You should get through the fifth book
see, now I've got it on my iPod, so I'll listen to it. And I ripped it I have it on my iPod. Well, I ripped it at 64 kilobits.
Yeah.
So it's super low quality. It doesn't need to be that great. It's just spoken word.
Right.
And it fits great.
Awesome.
So anyway, iPod Nano. I'd have bought one of those instead of my Mini if I had the chance.
Right. Let's move on to movie stuff.
Movie stuff.
I saw this article on the web, but I didn't get a chance to read it.
The cost of movies soaring. Now, I can't really remember why I put this on here, but I get the article talks about the fact that movies that are coming out, like I guess the new Superman is going to cost $250 million to make.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
It's
insane.
Like, what the hell is going on?
What's happening is they're trying to keep up with people's expectations.
I guess.
And I think they may have I think they may have missed
the mark. How much did Napoleon Dynamite cost? People don't understand. It's not, you know, it's just like a video game, right? You can have amazing, beautiful graphics. If the gameplay sucks, the game sucks.
Right.
You know, if the
I completely agree.
If the story's not a good story, if the actors aren't good actors, I'll give you a good example. Episode 1. Everybody likes to rag on Episode 1. I do too.
Well, they made it so easy to do.
Right.
Great concept with horrible follow through.
Right. Great concept, but all the dialogue is, in fact, Lucas admitted to it being wooden, which it's stilted.
Wooden. I'd rather listen to wood talk.
Yeah, exactly. Are you a space angel? Which brings to my second point, the acting.
Right? What do you mean?
So not only does that kid have to say, you must be a space angel, but he doesn't say, you must be a space angel. He says, you must be a space angel. Right there, I start watching that movie, I get to that point, and I want to punch my TV. I just can't at once. I want to throw up, not just because it's the worst line in any movie I've ever heard, but it's also delivered horribly.
Well, and in defense of the actors, when you've got horrible lines,
it's tough.
It's hard to deliver them good.
Yeah.
And that, but, you know, some
it's actually hard to deliver them well.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Thank you for correcting me, bitch. It's hard to deliver those lines well, and the very good actors can do it, but they're still crappy lines.
Right. And I'm sure they still cringe when they
do
it.
All right, so the point of this whole thing is you're right. Movies cost a lot because they're worried about special effects when they should be worried about a good story.
Right.
Well, absolutely. That's why I can kind of understand. It doesn't necessarily mean I like going to the movies and having to shell out a small fortune to enjoy myself for an evening, but I can understand. You know, in the past 10 years, you've had this, you know, moving towards a lot more CGI. So that's a whole another army of employees.
I think Matrix was probably one of the biggest movies
that really got us into the realm of,
oh shit, we got to add in a lot more CG.
Yeah. Lord knows there's been years of really bad CGI, which, you know, at the time, like, I don't know if you ever remember seeing Spawn in the movie theaters. I was excited.
Yeah, but even with Spawn, I think that, in my opinion, Spawn did it. I like that movie.
So did I.
And I think they did it the right way in that they did the CGI when the CGI was needed.
Not just for the sake of doing it.
Right.
That's true, but it was still in such an infantile state
that
back in those days they didn't realize when was enough. I remember the scene where Spawn actually gets sent down into hell, and it was just too much action on the screen.
I agree with that.
And
if
I had to look at that for any more amount of time at that point, I would have left there with a screaming headache trying to decipher all the imagery.
It's like anything. You don't want to overuse the technology.
Absolutely.
Lord of the Rings, for example, was just brilliant. And brilliant for the fact that they used it when they needed it, but the scenes and things that they could hold up without having to throw
in
some.
It didn't pull you away
and
from the story.
The story and the actors made that movie.
Yes, they did.
Everything else was supporting them
instead
of the other way around.
That was icing.
Yeah.
Which I can appreciate. There's been a lot of Lord of the Rings backlash because it just like, you know, the Lucas films, it almost seemed like it was generated for the masses. There was something for everybody.
Oh, and it was.
Yeah,
it has to be.
But you know, they still did a stellar job.
Yes,
I thought the storytelling was wonderful. Yeah, they didn't incorporate everything from the books, but you know, it was an excellent rendition.
If you go to a movie expecting to see the book,
You're going to be disappointed every time.
Yeah.
Which has got me really curious Chronicles of Narnia.
Have you
Definitely
guys seen Hitchhikers? It's coming out on Tuesday. I haven't seen it yet.
You haven't seen it?
No.
It was very good.
Was it?
It was very entertaining. It was what it was supposed
to be. It's a
popcorn
movie.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
It was very, and you have to go in there. You have to be in the mood. If you don't know anything about The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, you'll be like, what the hell? Why is that?
Because I read it once a long time ago.
If you've read the books even a long time ago.
And it's very British humor to begin with.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
So.
Very Monty Python.
If you've read the books at all ever, you'll catch references in there that'll make you laugh.
Okay.
If you've never read the books, you will not appreciate the movie.
All right.
Cool. Well, I'll be looking forward to renting that one.
So we got a little movie review in at the same time.
Excellent.
Fucking geniuses.
Dang.
Okay, movie making. We always do a little movie making tip.
All right.
And I had something on there, and I thought One of the things I thought that would be kind of fun for the movie making tips is that if the audience out there who don't actually make movies, they can still learn something about it and they can notice things when they watch movies.
Gives you some appreciation for what actually happened.
A little deeper appreciation of what's going on in a movie. So the topic is different ways to do a two-shot. A two-shot is the movie terminology for two people in a scene.
Yes.
And it's, I guess it's just easier than saying two people in a scene.
Maybe it's me having watched way too much porn, but wow, I had a different analogy altogether.
I think that's called a pop shot.
And I'll tell you what, if you can get a two shot, talented woman.
Wow.
Yeah. So a two shot is essentially anytime you have two people on the screen. So happens a lot. Especially with, I mean, it's primarily used for dialogue.
Right.
Two people talking, and they do primarily over the shoulder is your very standard two shot. So you got one camera, and it's over the shoulder of the person not talking while you're looking at the person talking, and they switch back and forth.
Makes you feel like you're in the position of being talked to.
Right. Now, we talked about line of action and things like that last time, so you want to make sure not to cross the line of action, blah, blah, blah. Anyway. There are other interesting ways to do a two-shot, and you rarely see this, but you do see it occasionally. And I think that, in general, people don't talk this way, so it is a movie maker's tool to communicate an emotion to the audience. So, for example, if two actors are reading their dialogue, one standing next to another, both facing the camera. The impression is the person closer to the camera is angry at the person behind them.
Hmm.
Because really? If let's say you have sort of a heated conversation between two people, but they're both facing away from the camera, you know, or another one that people use a lot is one person facing the other person, and then one person turned 90 degrees.
It's that cold shoulder feel.
It's that cold shoulder feel.
That makes sense.
So you can get a different feeling in the dialogue just by moving the placement of the people around. You can also do it by moving the camera around in that instead of over the shoulder, and you see this a lot in movies actually. They move inside the circle of action.
Right.
And I didn't really want to talk about this, but it's because it's different, but it's interesting anyway.
Still two shot.
So it's still a two shot. They move inside the circle of action, and instead of doing it over the shoulder, they'll do close-ups.
Right in your face.
Right in your face. And that gives the audience more of a sense that they're actually involved what's going on.
Yes.
Right. You know,
like I'm talking to you.
Right. Right. So just some interesting things to see, to take note of, is when two people are on the screen, there's different ways to position those people to portray different emotions to the audience.
Right.
So that's it for my two-shot tip of the day.
Very good.
Yep.
Very
Not good. The two-shot Alan was talking about.
Well, maybe we'll have to talk about the circle of action next week since you mentioned
Let's
that.
Let's talk about the circle of action next week.
All right, we'll do that. Coming up next week, the Circle of Action.
And I could go off on a whole different tangent with that.
That's true. Wow. The Circle of Jerk. I'm glad he's only here for one episode.
RPG stuff. I have no idea what either of those things are. You're a fucking weakness, dude. That's because you
right.
don't.
I know what the D&D I know what the D&D art.
That's because you don't play Magic anymore, you gay boy.
I was just about to bring my cards when we rushed out the door out of here too. So it really, just
I just bought some new ones.
Ninth edition now was there? Ninth edition just came out.
Yeah, that's the ninth edition previews are out now.
And is that what they're calling it?
They're doing
Ravinka.
Yeah, this is really interesting. The plot is set around a city. And you have these warring factions within the city.
Interesting.
And that's what the card story is based on.
Oh, okay.
This is very interesting. They've changed some of the rules. And some pretty major changes.
All right.
One, the opposite colors are out the window. There's no more opposing colors anymore.
Really?
Yep.
Well, that's a huge change.
Yeah,
right?
It is.
That's one big one. The other really big one is they now have mana costs that have two mana symbols on them. So, a particular card requires two mana. that mana can be of white or of red.
Doesn't have to be both.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't have to be either or.
Each mana point can be either or of those mana.
Interesting.
So it's not quite a colorless and then a red. It's a, let's say, one colorless and a red or a white.
Huh.
So it's kind of a an in between the colored and the colorless.
Well, Aaron had a couple of the basic sets. He had, I think, white, black, and red. The basic, if you buy the basic card sets for the ninth edition, they just come as a one color deck.
Right.
Okay.
And I noticed they brought back a bunch of creatures from the original Magic expansion.
Yeah,
edition.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I find it interesting then that they've gotten rid of the opposing colors, but yet they brought back some of the original creatures with their original powers.
Well, I think what you won't find though is a lot of the cards that
are specifically oriented towards
some other
color.
Yeah. So my guess is that you won't have black cards that specifically target white. Or white cards that specifically target
black. Wow, that's really going to change everybody's strategies and everything.
Yeah, really.
I would imagine that really...
And it's going to fucking make me buy 9th edition cards.
That must have really revamped white, because that was, I mean, one of the biggest things for white.
God,
was,
I swear,
8th
edition
the protection
just
against
came out
all the different colors.
But see, I think that'll probably be the same, as the protection against all colors is fine. But I think they had, like, greater protection or greater something against black, and they had all these specific cards for opposing colors.
So they came out with 9th edition, and then they released an expansion for it,
well,
my assumption, right?
The core of every edition is the core set of
basic
all
cards.
The other cards.
Yes.
So there's no new cards in the core set. Then they'll come out with the expansion, which is all the new cards from 9th edition.
So Ravnica is the new expansion
these are
for
all,
9th edition.
These are all the new cards for 9th edition. Let's open up the tab because I think it's pretty cool.
So these are going to be new core cards, or this is the expansion?
This is the expansion. So there's a card of the day in here.
Careful how loud you're talking. You're just about eating the microphone.
There's a card.
Deeper. Dude, that's my microphone.
Oh, geez.
You can't wipe that off.
Why does it smell like ass?
Oh, my God.
Oh, shit. I can't find it now. They have card previews up on the site. It's sweet.
All right. Well, if you're into Magic, Go up and
check out
the
new cards.
Wizards of the Coast site.
They're
check
pretty
out the
sweet.
Cards.
Okay, so there it is.
Excellent.
The next one, D&D Art Contest. Actually, I just found this one
for Alan.
I saw it yesterday, and I knew Alan was going to be here. So, essentially, I think there's some offshoot site. It's on the main Wizards of the Coast site.
Oh, we're like a custom radio show, then. We can customize our show
to anybody. Call in. Tell us what you're into.
We take requests.
And we'll put stories on there for you.
Yeah.
I don't got a problem with that. Yeah.
Nobody's going to call anyway. So.
If anybody emails us for anything except Mike.
Except for Mike.
Yeah.
Fuck that guy.
Well, he emails us anyway.
I
don't have to convince him.
I even tried giving him a fake email address. He still found me.
So, anyway, I guess it's a D&D art contest, and you can win some pretty cool stuff. So if you're into art,
general art, just D&D,
no,
D&D
fantasy art,
D&D
fantasy art stuff.
Are they going to do it for possibly getting it put in a book, or I'm assuming the contest is not just to win prizes, but they're probably looking for some.
What
art
did you expect me to read the contest?
I expected
rules.
You to know what your articles are about. For the love of God,
let's see.
Do a little research, Dan.
Dungeons and Dragons was created as a role-playing game over 30... No,
I'm kidding. Oh, man.
I'll just... You know what? Our next podcast, we'll just read the web.
That
oh, no.
Exciting.
I'm sorry. That's Dignation that does that.
Oh!
Burn. Okay, here are a couple examples.
Thank you.
Of things that you might have. A climactic battle between dragons taking place while they are flying high. A thief trying to steal a jewel inside a cavern while being chased by a giant spider. You know, of course, you don't have to be faster than the giant spider.
You
just have
to
be faster than
the
slowest dwarf.
Now, see, if I were to go along with something like this and really get creative, I think I would focus more on, you know,
porn.
Just, well, always. But
why
not? You gotta have that bit of originality, you know. You just don't necessarily follow guidelines like this. You know, get creative. Have the one paladin surrounded by a bunch of goblins with +5 can openers. You know, just
see
have
now
fun
that's
with that.
What yeah that's what needs to happen. I think that's a good idea. Look at the dude doing this. This is somebody that takes themselves way too seriously.
Wow.
Way too seriously.
I am Brom.
I am Brom. Out. I am Brom. So, anyway, hey, right, I think so, that you should, Alan, I really think that you should enter this.
It might be worth looking into.
Yeah. For all you, for all you artists out there who are also fantasy freaks and nerds and geeks, and check it out and see. That'd be interesting. I imagine they're going to do this, and eventually probably one of the grand prizes would be to get your art published in one of their books,
yeah,
or as a
probably.
Cover art, or
yeah. And pay you
on a
piss
page.
And make
yeah,
a bunch of money
paid.
Off your art.
The point is you get your art out there.
Smokers. Okay, so we're an hour into this, and we've got a bunch to go.
All right, well,
but I don't give a fuck.
Let's skim over the video game stuff real quick. And we'll...
Okay. PSP UK breaks sales records, I guess.
Yeah,
they hold
PSP
a shitload of PSPs.
Just raping the market right now.
And I,
people love this thing.
It's got so much functionality to it.
Yeah.
My web browser, a game player, you can play movies on it, you can play your home movies on it, you can see pictures on it. I mean, it's crazy.
My only complaint – I have two complaints. One, the memory's too expensive. That's not really an issue with PSP, I guess. It's just memory's
Although,
too expensive.
We went over that.
I know. My other big complaint is, give me some hardware to pump my PSP video out to my TV.
Yes. Yeah. Did you see the previews for that? I almost put that up on a link.
Oh, did you? They got something?
Well, this is – I guess there's an internet rumor and somebody had a 3D modeled prototype for it. And I was going to put it up as news, but I think it's just rumor. I think it's bullshit. But they have an attachment, I guess, that goes into the USB port and outputs to RCA.
Oh, I'd really like that.
I'd really like that.
I would buy UMD. I mean, I'd buy UMD movies if I could watch them on a TV bigger than my PS. Because I like to share my movie experience with other people. I was watching the Black Hawk Down movie you gave me and Kung Fu Hustle, and I found myself laughing at things, looking around like, you know how you enjoyed it.
Well,
there's
like,
nobody else.
It's like, do you go to a movie? It's always more fun. I've been to movies by myself in the theater, and it's fun.
Really?
Yeah,
that's
pathetic.
It's sad, isn't it?
Oh, we're completely pathetic. Why do you think we're doing this stupid?
We're doing a
good radio
point.
Show.
No, dude, we're doing a podcast about role playing games and video games.
Yeah, we are fucking losers.
Yeah,
so, I really need a beer.
but so shit like that's always more fun, and I had the same issue. I mean, it's just like I'm not, and I found actually how I did it, how I ended up using it the most was I'd go to bed. And instead of reading in bed, I'd watch a movie on my PSP in bed. And
it's more just, TV. That's what this society
yeah,
is.
Right. But I'm not going to do that all the time. It doesn't really hold my – and I want to buy UMDs, but I want to be able to – or what if somebody made a component UMD player?
Now, that could be nice.
For like $100.
Right.
And you could slip the UMDs in.
Yeah, but then what's the point of the PSP? Really?
Games.
I want to be able to take my PSP with me
I
go, plug it into my parents' big screen TV,
and play my home movies. That would be
movies.
Cool. That would be
play
really cool.
Play my movies.
Yeah. Play anything.
Yeah.
And actually, I'd love to play the PSP video games.
And I want to build a way to export my movies to UMD format.
Part
so
of the
I
problem,
can make my own personal
I think
UMDs.
Part of the reason that they don't want to do this, and
I know why they don't.
And what most people don't realize is the resolution on the PSP screen is crappy.
Oh, yeah.
It looks great on a PSP.
Right.
It's fantastic.
But if you stretched it out to a regular TV, it would look like garbage.
Yeah, but aren't they supporting 16:9? It's a 16:9 output.
It's a matter of number of pixels.
But what's the resolution on it,
It's
know?
Like 240x127.
Mm.
So it's
that's
not
actually
– it's not even NTSC.
It's not high, no, it's not high. You're right. That's a little
it's
low.
Not even NTSC.
All right.
So that's part of the reason that I think they don't want to do that.
I didn't think about that. You're right.
You start pumping stuff out to the TV and people go, oh, that looks like shit. The PSP is crap. Well, it's not.
Right.
It just really wasn't meant to do that kind
right.
of thing.
It's meant to play on
the
PSP
screen. I think if they sold a UMD player, I would buy it. And I would buy more UMD movies.
But again, you're going to have the same problem.
As it is, I just want a 1 gig card so I can rip my DVDs to PSP video.
Right.
Sweet.
PSP is very cool. Even the British like it.
Yeah.
And they don't like – oh, wait. Maybe that's the French.
And they fucking complain about everything.
Universal PSP – the PSP firmware unloader. Yeah. People that bitch about this forever because they want to be able to hack their PSP, and once you upgrade,
you can't
go back
and
put the old hacks
on. 1.5.
And you know what? People are going to start migrating the hacks up to hack the newest versions too.
Not only that,
have to wait a little bit, but it'll happen.
In all honesty, I had 1.5. I had the NES and the SNES and the NAS emulator on my PSP. And I loved playing Super Mario World 2 on my PSP. That was the bomb. But at the same time, Mike Tyson's Punch Out.
Oh, baby!
But there was a slight delay. And even with the, with the SNES, I was dropping frames all over the place.
Yeah.
So it wasn't all that great. It's the neato factor of having it on there.
Right.
But I think that if this thing comes out, I probably won't use it anyway.
I won't.
Not unless something really cool
comes
out.
Yeah, we talked about this before. In the end, if you have the choice between playing a cool brand new game or playing one of the old school arcade games, what are you going to do?
Right. Oh, and I realize they're more expensive, but I'll rent one. I'll rent one for $5.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
So anyway, that's on the verge of release if anybody's interested.
More PSP news.
Jesus
total.
Christ.
Yeah, well, I had mine up first, bitch. Okay. You gave yours a second. PSP, there's a PSP-specific portal on TotalVideoGames.com.
Yeah. Oh, I'm making it my homepage now.
Yeah, it's very well done.
Yeah.
TotalVideoGames.com/PSP,
yep.
And there's a portal there for downloading wallpapers and
it's like
video game trailers.
The perfect size
for
the PSP.
For the PSP.
Now, I have had some problem downloading those trailers, because even if I put them in the right folder, they still don't play.
Mine played.
I have to rename.
Oh, I didn't have any problems.
First, really.
If you follow the directions. If you were not a real man and read directions.
I wonder if I wonder if it's because I have the Japanese version of the 2.0.
I bet so. Now who needs the unloader?
Damn it.
Yacht?
See, and that's true, because if I could unload it down to 1.5.
And then reload
the US version. And then reload 2, I'd have the US
version. See what you did?
See what I did?
Anyway, TotalVideoGames.com. Go check it out. It's very cool.
D&D MMO. Delayed until 2006.
Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh, wow.
The Dungeons.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Well,
so
yeah.
I think that a lot of the WoW guys will probably jump ship to D&D Online. Because everybody loves the D20 system.
Not everybody. I love it.
Well,
I think I do.
I think that if you play it in real life, you want to play it online.
Yeah.
Because you're
I'm a total D20 fanboy. I'll admit it.
It's been a long time, but there's just something old school about D&D.
And
you know
all the rules.
Keep coming back to
it. You know how you level. Oh, they said they've been having problems with the leveling.
No, they fixed that.
Did they?
They're doing moments of advancement.
Okay.
And what that means is they're only doing 10 levels to begin with. Because they're doing it right. What they want to do is they want content. What keeps people coming back? We've said this before. I don't care how pretty the game is. If there's nothing to do, who gives a shit?
But the other thing that you need that I think is interesting is if they're only having 10 levels, right? WoW's got 40. And one of the things that gets me off is leveling.
Yeah. Well, they know that.
60,
and so,
60 levels.
This is
60
levels.
This
is what they're doing.
So if it takes me 12 hours of gameplay to get from 1 to 2, that's going to suck.
And they know that. And this is what they're doing. They have moments of advancement. Between each level, from one level to next, you have 4 moments of advancement.
Oh, so they actually have 40 levels.
So you level 4 times to get to level 2. Now, what happens at these moments of advancement is you get to tweak some things. You
that's
get a couple of those
very clever. Oh, that's
okay.
Really
so now
smart.
You've officially got 40 dings.
Right.
If you never played an MMOG before, whenever you level, this started an EQ, I think. Every time you level, you'd get this ding noise where it'd go ding.
Right.
So now that's carried across all the MMOGs. So when people are screaming ding, it means they just gained a level. So you're going to have these moments of advancement. Well, yeah, you won't be level 2, but you'll be level 1.1. They're not going to say that. That sounds gay to call it that. But
right. You'll have
that
level
feeling.
1, advanced 0.1 or
you'll
whatever.
You'll get that happy, shiny feeling of I've gained something.
It's that
new.
Level
that's
of achievement.
Very smart.
Yes.
Yep. And then what's really cool about that what's very clever about that, is that every 4 of those, you'll get a big ding.
Yes.
So
Uber
you can, right, so you can move along for 4 levels, and then I guarantee you, you're at 5.3,
yep.
And you'll be all that much more jonesing for 6.
And when they implement levels 11 through 20, and you get 4 mini dings between each level there, now you got, what's that, 80 levels?
Yep. Oh, mama,
Yeah. And that's what it's all about. I mean, a game like that is you do something and then you get that moment of just pure satisfaction.
I heard an interview with the guy that created Breakout. The one where you have all the bricks and the ball goes. He said one of the keys to that game is that you struggle, and then you get the ball through a crack in the bricks, and it just bobbles around, and you get to sit there and watch it happen.
Yep.
And that's the Breakout ding, you know? And
it's
pure
satisfaction.
Right. So
it really
he said
is.
What you need is you need this struggle, and then a payoff and an accomplishment.
That's the way life works, too.
Right. Right, absolutely. So the dings are that payoff. That sounds great.
So
but
keep your eye out
delayed
for,
till 06.
Keep
what
your
you
eye out
do?
For DDO. I think they're not that surprised. Every MMOG through history has been delayed. They never release when they say they're going to, which is why they don't like to give release dates, because then you get people, well, you told us who's going to be
right
then.
Right,
well, yeah,
right.
Okay. Well, how about we just release a broken game, which
right.
they're going to say anyway.
No, I agree.
But anyway, I think that's going to be a good game.
Now, I'll be looking forward to that one.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
I think it'll be a good one.
All right.
This next one made me change my shorts.
What's going on? GoldenEye. I'm assuming it's a new James Bond game.
Do you remember the N64 game?
Yes.
Do you remember the N64
Question
game?
Is, do I remember the N64?
You were a PlayStation guy, weren't you?
Always. Always.
So.
Says the PSP owner.
Hey, bitch. I've got a DS, too. And I bought that first.
All right, so GoldenEye.
GoldenEye.
What's going on?
They are coming out with a Half-Life 2 mod. That is the original GoldenEye for the N64.
Oh, no shit.
So it'll be the same story, the same gameplay, but it'll have graphics of Halo 2.
On the Half-Life engine.
Not Halo 2, Half-Life 2.
So GoldenEye on the Half-Life engine.
On the Half-Life 2 engine.
Half-Life 2 engine.
That is going to be awesome. And
too funny.
Wait, you guys got to see the screenshots. We are screenshotting. Should we play a little music? Should we cut this out? No, I don't think
so. No, we always keep all the banter, all the uselessness.
What the fuck?
I don't know, dude.
There it is. Look at how beautiful that looks.
Too funny.
Oh, wow.
That's awesome. Yeah, the Half-Life 2 engine is a pretty good engine.
It's amazing.
It's a very good engine.
Oh, my God, that's beautiful. All right.
Oh, there you go.
Enough of us
going,
oh, my God, that's beautiful.
Ooh, pretty.
Why does the R stick?
Ouch.
So, for I think for our last topic, we've got book stuff. One of the books that I loved was called Shot by Shot, Visualizing from Concept to Screen.
No, Al, that's not a porn book.
No.
Damn it!
It is a movie-making book, and it is probably the best one that I've read. I've read probably three of them, and it's the best.
I remember you've taken some pretty good concepts from there.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, pretty much all the movie making tips that we've talked about, the idea for those I got from that book.
Yeah.
And if you want to read a book it gives you tips on script writing, storyboarding,
awesome.
Doing blocking for shots.
I'm going to have to read that anyway just for myself.
Yeah,
so
moving camera angles, all that stuff. It's a really good book. So
Shot by Shot.
Yep, Shot by Shot.
Do you know who wrote it?
Well, we've got the link up on our show notes for Amazon. Right. So,
and I'm still struggling through The Historian, so I have no new books to report.
Hang on. I'll get you your author. Michael Weiss.
Okay. There you go.
So, good book if you're into making movies. Actually, I would say it's a very good book even for doing home movies. Because home movies can have a tendency to be really boring.
No.
Yeah. And nobody really wants to watch them. But if you cut them together, I mean, from the 3 hours of footage that we had from your black belt testing, I edited together 15 minutes of content.
And it's entertaining to watch.
And it's worth watching. It's the 15 – if you're not someone who is there and not someone that's into martial arts, you want to be entertained.
Right.
Absolutely.
You know? So it's good for all kinds of good stuff.
Yep.
Yeah? You like that? Good for all kinds of good stuff.
That's very nice.
Has there
man.
Been a
You're
more worthless statement?
Now shut up.
So that's it. That's the show for today.
Awesome.
We're at an hour and 15 minutes.
Episode number 6.
Episode
cool. Well,
six,
thanks for having me along, guys.
Yeah. Well, thanks for coming over to make me drink lots of alcohol this
good,
weekend.
Good yes. stuff. Good stuff.
Are we drinking today?
Yeah. Actually, tomorrow is my first wedding anniversary.
Congrats.
Oh, congratulations.
So,
tonight's the big dinner, which we're sharing with the brother and sister-in-law. We're going out to a seafood restaurant that's supposedly
cool.
the bomb.
Where?
I have no idea.
Charlie's?
No.
Leo's.
Leo's. Supposedly, it makes Charlie's Crab look like a dive.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Going to catch that reference. Scrimps.
Charlie's Excellent. Crab dive.
Excellent.
Just full of it. All right. Time for the outros. I'm Sterling, and I'm a 6th-level gnome bard.
All right. I am Dan, and I'm a college professor.
Professor. Hey, professor.
All right.
That's another name for pirate treasure.
Booty.
And this is brother-in-law Al signing out.
There you go.
Peace.